It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And, well, what do we have here? We have a lot of not uncertainty because, of course, the volatility isn't spiking. But first of all, how'd you like our Warren Buffett Secret Millionaires? It's pretty interesting stuff when you think about it. I mean, some of these kids were as young as 9 years old up to 13 years old. I mean, you know, pretty cool. I mean, those are things that make you think that, you know, maybe we will be okay, you know, going forward. And of course, you know, we always tend to worry, or at least I tend to worry about, you know, the future, because I hate, you know, what I see in what's going on. But I thought they did a nice job, and, you know, not easy to come on and talk, you know, especially, you know, unprepared, so to speak, and just kind of going. So I thought it was pretty good. You know, it was, I think it's a great organization, and I thought that, I hope you enjoyed it. And if you have any comments, please feel free to, you know, shoot me in an email, you know, but I thought it was pretty good. And, you know, it's obviously not as easy to get answers out of younger kids. You know, they like a lot of the yes and no, but I think they all did a pretty good job at explaining what they're trying to do and whether or not it was a real business or a business they were working on. But, you know, that's what we see. And of course, I know we haven't had a chance to talk about, you know, our lame duck president who got, you know, Pelosi'd now, right? Interesting, as we see, you know, the landscape start to change. And I think that you're now seeing just a whole bunch of changes now, you know, whether they're good or bad, that we don't have the answer to yet. We know what he's done has not been good, right? I mean, do we all agree on that? Whether or not you voted that way or not, do we agree that what he has done has not been really in the best interest of the country? And of course, you know, I don't believe that any of them really do what's in the best interest of the country anymore. I think it's what's in the best interest of the special interest and their own interest, which is usually their special interest. But you know, we've got, of course, today we've got the Federal Reserve going to chirp and tell us what they're going to do. And, of course, those of you who know me best know that I think that they're a crock of crap and they really have no idea what they're doing. Yes, I guess they are smart people, but certainly lack the common sense gene. I guess when they were passing them out, they didn't get them because they only know how to read from a manual. And interesting enough, I said the other day that, you know, economists make predictions, and if they're wrong, they just make another prediction. And of course, we know that in the history of the Federal Reserve, they've never made the correct correction, the correct prediction. Excuse me. Now, again, I don't look at it. Predicting is not an easy thing to do, but certainly, looking at what they're doing and looking at what they've done, we all have to agree that unless you're among the 5% or 2% that is really benefiting from what they've done, you'd got to say, you know, maybe they haven't done a very good job. But when we look back and we'll go back in history, you can see that typically they've never done a good job. And that's why the Treasury bonds are in a 30-year bull market. That's why rates continue to fall, is because of the poor decisions and the money printing that they've actually done, not just in the last 6 years, but since in the history of the last 27 years. And tomorrow I'll talk about some stats that are interesting about what's happened over since 1987, since I did trade and that market collapse as well. But, you know, are they going to raise rates? Are they going to indicate a rate raise or rate rise? You know, I'll tell you, I don't know how they could raise rates here. I mean, they could do anything, obviously, but should they? And, you know, I'm at the point where I don't think it's in the best interest now of the country, but I think that they should. I think that it's time just to say, you know what, let's just rip this Band-Aid off and let's go ahead. We'll take the beating. let the stock market take a little beat down. I mean, because at the end of the day, you know, yes, we talk a lot about the stock market, but how many of us are dependent solely on the stock market? We know that based on size of markets itself, that that's, you know, probably seventh or eighth down the line. You know, and shouldn't we be more concerned about the fixed income market? Shouldn't we be more concerned about the people that need to live? Okay. You know, if you're working, and again, I'm not justifying anything, but if you're working and you're making a reasonable wage, you are not struggling to live. Okay. Now, again, I know many of us are because we've got the labor participation rate the lowest since 1978. But, you know, when you continue to take pieces of the economy and pieces of the population out of the ability to spend money, okay, you are doing damage not only to the people who can't spend it because they can't enjoy the money that they work so hard for, but every business that they touch. You know, we don't think about it like that, and we've never talked about it like that. But, you know, if you take, you know, let's say grandparents, right? Grandparents, you know, typically most of them are not anxious to be, you know, actively involved in the stock market. They want that fixed income. They want to put their money in a CD, in a bond, and they want to be able to preserve their capital in the meantime while spoiling their grandchildren rotten and buying them gifts and toys. And but you know what you're finding out now? They don't have the money to buy the gifts and the toys now anymore because they're not making any money. And the money that they have that they're trying to generate off of has to be done in such a way that they have to take risk, and they're not happy about taking risk. And can you blame them? I mean, if you worked your whole life to save money so that you could retire at whatever age it is you want to retire, 65, 70, 75, and you go, you know what, I'm going to save a $500,000, and between Social Security and my money, all I need to make is $35,000 to really live the life I live. So if you had to generate, you know, 4% or 5% off of the money that you saved so that you wouldn't have to touch your principal, so that in your pension or that in your Social Security, you'd be in pretty good shape. Well, unfortunately, we're not in that shape. And to me, that's, again, sad. I'm just depressed over that fact. Maybe it's because I'm getting closer to retirement myself. But no, I'm depressed over that fact because, you know, I know how hard most people work in this country, and I know how a lot of people scrimp and save to get to that point where finally, you know, I've reached the finish line and I can sit back a little bit and I can enjoy a little bit and I can take the fruits of my labor and really sit back and, you know, again, I can't be frivolous, I can't go crazy, but I certainly can spend and I can certainly try to spoil my grandchildren a little bit or whoever, you know, I can have some money for charity, whatever it is that you want to do, but now we don't have that. And to me, that's a very tough position. And there are so many changes that need to be made, which is why that I think I need to really run for president, because obviously I would run this like a business instead of like a special interest group, because I don't give a about anybody when it comes to their special interest. So anyways, we've got a great show for you today. We've got Jane King coming in and Mike McClone, and I think you want to listen to those two because they're both, you know, real people that understand really what's going on. But also, I think you need to get a hold of the Bubba Report. We have been it's been selling like hotcakes, and we really lay it out, and we've heard nothing but good reports on the Bubba Report because you've got the best of the world writing for you, giving you clues of what they think is going to happen next, but really also helping you put together your own portfolio. So go to thebubbashow.org right now. Sign up for the Bubba Report. $99 a year gets you 12 issues. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. I'm going to step out of here for a break, and we'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Right, turn off the lights. We gonna lose our minds tonight. What's the dealio? I love when it's all too much. 5 a.m. Turn the radio up. Where's the rock and roll? Body crasher, penny snatcher.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. Are you tired of all the tout servers out there telling you how much they're going to make you in the options world of trading? Well, I think you need to look no further. I think it's time for you to check out the Sunday night call that I do every Sunday with the Badger at 7 p.m. Eastern time. We break down the markets. We talk about the trials and tribulations of how to trade the option market. And we share with you ideas on how to make your trading more successful. And now we have the special opportunity of offering auto trading through our friends at the CTG Group, Capital Trading Group with Kevin Reardon. So I would love to see you check out the Sunday night call. Learn how to trade options, learn how to make some money, learn how to trade like a pro, and also have the ability to have it auto-traded for you, because if you're at work and you don't have time, we can set it up and allow you to auto-trade as well. That's the Sunday night call with Bubba and the Badger. Check it out. Check it out for a free link, and I will let you try it out for 1 month on me. The Sunday night call with Bubba and Badger. For e-details, just email me at todd@averagejoeoptions.com. And we will get you set up and ready to rock and roll. Bubba Show listeners, the best trading platform that Bubba's ever found is Thinkorswim. And I'll tell you something, they have some unbelievable exciting announcements that are going to be coming out in the very near future. And they are going to be highlighted here on the Bubba Show. Make sure, my faithful Bubba Show listeners, that you are listening in for those special announcements, because our man, John Hart, when they become official and ready to go, is going to come out on the Bubba Show and make those announcements for you. But in the meantime, make sure you check out Thinkorswim as they offer you, the trader, you, the investor, every opportunity to be successful by giving you the great proper tools that will help you become the best trader you can be. That is Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. Make sure you check them out. Go to thebubbashow.org and hit that link, Thinkorswim. They are absolutely the best. Thinkorswim. Traders, tired of all the mind-boggling strategies that everybody tells you that are going to work? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Our new sponsor, Novera.com, has come up with an indicator that ties all of the other indicators together into their own secret sauce using their own mathematical calculations that give you the best odds and probabilities to find that successful trade you've been looking for. So no more do you have to research and work and look and find. Right now, Novera has their own score system that gives you an idea of when the best trade setup is going to be there. And I got to tell you something. The Badger and I went through a private webinar yesterday, and we are so excited about using this. We can't wait for the markets to open and get ourselves downloaded. Make sure you go check out. That's KNOWVERA.com/Bubba. That's KNOWVERA.com/Bubba. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, it's my time, my special time with my good friend, Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report, Jane King. What's up, Jane King?
Well, hey, Todd. So I'm flying to Indiana today. Very excited. Going to go back. Going to check out the farm, see how everything's growing, and see family. So just a little quick weekend trip. There's some thunderstorms in Indiana, so I'm hoping wheels down on time and safe. So we'll see, but looking forward to some Midwestern time today.
How is the farm and the planning going? Do you know? Have you got any reports?
Well, I talked to my brother last week, and it seems to have been a pretty successful planting season. They're all done. He's all excited because one of his neighbors has a border collie that can round up the sheep and the cows and everything. So he's going to take my kids and go show them how a border collie works. So that's where we're going to spend our Saturday.
That's awesome. That's a great thing, and it's, you know, obviously it's great for kids, especially to get the culture of different areas, because, you know, what's really amazing, I think, in life, especially with the younger generation, is we don't really see a lot of different things, right? We kind of get stuck where we are, and we don't get to see the different lifestyles of what people do all over the place.
No, and I mean, and especially in New York, because a lot of the kids in New York travel, but it's to Europe, and it's, you know, to California. And I don't really know too many that go to the Midwest. And so, you know, it's very different there. And I think it's great that my kids are getting a little city culture. They get some farm, rural culture. So hopefully it helps them out someday.
So, you know, what are you reporting on these days, Jane? What are you seeing out there? What are things that, A, make you happy and say, hey, we are on the way to recovery? And what are the things that scare you or give you some cause for concern?
Well, I am concerned about a lot of these hack attacks. I mean, the latest is, of course, the government hack attack, the huge 4 million people. Now there's word that maybe all of their Social Security numbers had been exposed. So this is an issue that I'm not sure what you do about it. I don't think we're doing enough about it to encrypt. I don't think these Social Security numbers were even encrypted. So that seems like a basic step to take. But these hackers are so creative. I mean, for every fix that a cybersecurity person comes up with, there is about 10,000 hackers coming up with new and different ways to figure out how to get around it. So I happen to know the guy who started credit.com, and he said, you know, you can't really prevent it. All you can do is keep an eye on your stuff and solve the problem as quickly as possible. And so I guess that's the world we live in these days. So that's certainly something that is concerning to me. Grief is always a drama. One day it looks promising, the next day not so much. We've been through a couple different things with grief this week. So I'm not sure what's going to happen there, but we could be starting to see the beginnings of a Greek exit.
Now, you know, you've been in the business for quite a while, and, you know, very well versed on, you know, pretty much everything in the economy. Are you looking for the Fed to say anything in their next meeting, which is on Wednesday, or are you looking for more of the same? Is there anything that you're seeing, or is there anything that's giving you an indication that they might say, hey, maybe we will raise rates here?
Well, I think that they might change a word or two. They are very much aware of how sensitive one small little, even if they breathe differently, how the Wall Street will react to that. We had a pretty good jobs report out on Friday that was better than expected. Good retail sales number this week. So maybe they will see that it might be okay to raise interest rates. I don't know if they'll do it in September. Maybe later this year, maybe early next year. Of course, we have had the World Bank and the IMF both coming out recently and urging the Fed not to raise interest rates until 2016. They say things are still fragile, could drive the dollar up, that could derail any economic recovery. But the economic data, at least over the past 10 days, has been pretty encouraging.
Okay, so you felt that, now I did not think that the jobs number was all that great. I mean, again, 280,000, fine, but, you know, again, it's the quality of jobs and what we're seeing. So did you feel that the jobs number was a good number?
Well, it was better than expected. As we get closer to 300,000, but you're right, there are a lot of part-time jobs. The quality of the jobs just isn't there. And that's something, you know, you and I have talked about a lot. I mean, people may be working two part-time jobs to try to make ends meet. Well, that's counted as two jobs added. So, yeah, it's not ideal for sure. But we've also had an awful lot of liquidity pumped into the market. Maybe an interest rate hike over the next 9 months may be something that we're due for.
Well, you know, I would hope they get a rate increase. Now, I don't think there's one. I think we're probably still a year away from an increase. However, one of the big things, and, you know, we everybody likes the low interest rate environment, except that most of us can't benefit from it. And the only way you can really benefit from higher rates is if you get higher rates, that means the banks will really provide liquidity and actually go back to loaning middle class and small business money, because then they're making enough on the spread. Do you think that's a valid point, or do you think that that I'm awful hot air?
Well, the entire time that we've seen, since the financial crisis, there's been this issue with the rich getting richer, the middle class falling behind, the poor getting poorer, but they're being helped by government programs. So that's still intact, and in fact, the gap is widening even more. So until we get into a situation where the banks start loaning for small businesses and for middle-class people to buy home loans without having 40% down, we're really not going to see the middle class move up much.
And as you look around, and again, you're very diversified because, A, you report, you know, basically nationwide. You've got, you know, a Midwestern background that moved into New York. Is the rest of the country all keeping up together, or are there pockets that you see that are like really good and then some that are really bad?
Well, you know, I really believe the Western U.S. is doing really well. Denver, for example, the hottest housing market in the country right now. Of course, you know, Utah has been mentioned several times as having one of the best business environments. GE this week is complaining about the tax burden in Connecticut publicly. Usually these things happen behind the scenes between executives and lawmakers, but they were public about it. And now you've got Texas pursuing GE to come to the Lone Star State. Indiana took out an ad in the Wall Street Journal telling GE to come look at Indiana. It's friendly for business, got a good tax environment. So some of these states that are not in the East Coast, although, I mean, you know, the housing market here in New York is fairly strong, not the strongest in the country, but, I mean, there was a penthouse for sale down by me for $30 million.
Did you buy it?
You know, it's New York, and you deal with a lot of international money here. But it just, the Western U.S. seems to have a better handle on economic equality, tax, and the role of taxes in business. And they just seem like they're the ones who are really thriving. Nevada has been actually, you know, it hasn't had a great economic background, but they've got this Tesla Gigafactory coming. They've got a solar industry that is just booming. So some of these Western states are really looking strong right now.
Did you have any opinion? You know, California last week approved the $15 minimum wage, which they'll instill by the year 2020, which obviously 5 years from now, a lot can happen. Do you have any thoughts on the minimum wage debate and on California actually approving it?
Well, that's a big jump from what the minimum wage is right now. And I was having this conversation with Marge Magner. She's the chairman of the Board of Gannett, a Wall Street legend. She's one of the few on Wall Street that actually does support a minimum wage increase. The ideal situation would be let the market determine that. But we do have a lot of workers in this country, whether they're immigrants, they don't have college education, that really can't get work unless it is minimum wage. So I'm not totally against a minimum wage increase, but I would like to see it limited to companies that are larger, not small businesses. That would be burdensome to them, and also see it gradually imposed over a period of like 3 to 5 years.
And Jane King, what is on anything special on the Kaching Report?
Oh, well, okay, something perfect for you, Todd, cowboy flip-flops.
Cowboy flip-flop.
You know, yeah, it's a new invention, an ingenious idea. And, you know, if you can't decide whether, you know, you want to be, you know, a cowboy or at the beach, you can be both at the same time. So you have to check out the cowboy flip-flop.
I'm going to check out the cowboy flip-flops. I always check out Jane King. Wherever you are in this country, you can find her on TV. You got to check her out. She knows her stuff. She's really great. Have a great time, Indiana. As Jane, it's always great to have you on air.
Thanks, Todd.
This has been Jane King from Lila Max Media and the Kaching Report. Check her out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace. We're going to stop by here for a break, and we'll be right back. The Bubba Show.
I know where I come from. How about you? I don't need baggy clothes or rings in my nose to be cool. The scars on my knuckles match the scuffs on these cowboy boots. And there's a whole lot more like...
Traders, Bubba here. You know, as I go back and look back at my 35 years of being involved in the market, you know, I'm always continuing to learn and educate myself for better ways to learn how to understand how to trade the markets. And as we approached record high after record high in the markets here, and as we continue to see the free money flow in and the wealthy continue to benefit, I thought it was time that, you know, we talked to everybody, all of our listeners, about education. Now, we do offer educational programs at BubbaTrading.com, as well as through the BubbaShow.org. And what I want to make everybody aware of is that if you would like to have the opportunity to learn more about the markets, we have many different facets in which we can teach you. We have from webinars, from newsletters, to all the way to one-on-one coaching. And what I want you to do, if you're interested in learning how to become better, a better trader, and learning how to protect your portfolio, what I want you to do is I want you to go ahead and email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, because we're talking about all kinds of ways that you can learn to protect your portfolio, whether you want to become a short-term trader or just protect your long-term investments. But I can tell you for with certainty that we will teach you the technical views of the market. We will teach you what makes the market tick. We'll teach you what makes the market go up and down and how to best protect yourself. And wouldn't it be great to protect that long-term portfolio with some unique option strategies that really have no risk to you and can put on some free insurance? And when is the last time you got free insurance? That's something that we offer here at The Bubba Show, thebubbashow.org. There is a fee associated with it, but please email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and we'll give you all the details of how to become a better trader or investor. That's bubba@thebubbashow.org. Bubba Show listeners, Bubba here. You know, in investing, you have to be prepared for everything that can possibly happen, and you have to have a pretty well-diversified portfolio. Which brings me to my friends at the Capital Trading Group in Chicago. You know, Nell Sloan over there at the Capital Trading Group, they understand that we as investors have to be prepared for any type of market conditions and any type of change. And what they do over there is they analyze different types of alternative investments that they can help show you and share with you ideas of what you may want to invest in. They've had pretty good success. Now, you know, past results are not guarantees for the future, but certainly the Capital Trading Group is a great place to start for your alternative investment needs. All you have to do is reach out and call my friend Nell Sloan at 888-341-1819 or go to capitaltradinggroup.com/Bubba. That's Nell Sloan at capitaltradinggroup.com. Sports fans, Bubba here. Are you a sports investor? Do you like playing around in either in the fantasy world or in the actual part of investing in sports? Well, let me tell you something. If you're not tuning in to the Sporting Edge every Saturday and Sunday morning at 10 a.m., you are missing the best read on the markets or the best read on sports. The Badger and I sit down and break down all of the investment opportunities that we look for throughout the week using purely odds and probabilities and mathematical speculation to help you break down the markets, as we like to say, or break down the sports. As you can see from our track record, we've shown many, many people how to become much better sports investors and give themselves that best opportunity to succeed. Not only that, but you got to check out the website, thesportingedge.net. We've got all the news. We've got all the stuff. Plus, we share with you each and every week our selections as well as fantasy. Check out thesportingedge.net with Bubba and Badger. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it is time for my man, the man who knows almost everything about the precious metal market and about the markets in general, an ex-trader, a man I did a lot of business with, my friend Mike McClone from ETFSecurities.com. What's up, Mike?
Hello, Todd.
So, Mike, what, you know, last week we saw a lot of stuff, and yet, you know, the markets, if we fast forward, we've seen a lot more numbers of down weeks than up weeks now. And again, I'm not calling this for a bearish market. I'm not saying that the tide has turned, but I do have an interesting stat for you, and I want to get your feel for it. The markets are in consolidation, which we can both recognize because one of your main products, which is gold, has also been in pretty good consolidation. But the equity markets are in the tightest trading range since 1900 percentage wise. What do you think?
Yes, that's kind of disconcerting because it's something we've discussed a lot, that volatility is mean reverting. Obviously, there's no volatility now. It's probably the calm before the storm. Hopefully not too bad. But also, it's looking at the calendar, what time of year it is. It's summer. You know, it's usually the quietest time of year. And there's just really not a lot going on. The market's just kind of being pushed both ways, pretty strong demand, pretty strong supply. And what's unique about the equity market now is it's a good news is bad news situation. And what I mean by that is recently we've had some delightfully good news. The unemployment number data was a little bit better than expected, and retail sales were a little bit better than expected, although not really off the charts, which has increased Fed tightening expectations. And that, to me, is part of the problem. Because it's good news, increases the probability the Fed will tighten. And the Fed has said that they are fearful of excessive risk-taking. So as we discussed earlier, the Fed's trading the market, and, you know, if the market keeps going up, it's more likely they're going to tighten more. If it goes down, it's less likely they're going to tighten. And that seems to be the situation right now. But the way we stand right now, if this data has improved, and that makes the Fed tightening more likely, which is really bad for markets, but it's also, it's just getting priced in, and the question is how much.
Okay. Now, I have to go over, I know it was about 10 days ago, but I have to go over the jobs number with you. What made that number in your mind so good? Because I don't see that as a great number. I saw the number itself, the 280,000, just on its surface is a good number, but participation rate is still below 1978 levels. Incomes still suck. Nothing is good for the average American. I don't care what they say about the jobs number. You tell me why I'm wrong, because I don't think I'm wrong.
Well, I don't think you're wrong either, but we have a Federal Reserve who's looking for any excuse to tighten, and the significance of the number is some of the revisions were a little bit better. It's the direction, and it was not a surprise to the downside, and that's been the problem. If you look at these economic surprise indices there's two key ones, Citigroup and Bloomberg, they're at multi-year lows. So at least from an economic surprise standpoint, it wasn't worse than expected. It's kind of a ho-hum number, but it's better than virtually any other kind of country out there, and it was better than expected, and the trend is somewhat favorable. But the Fed has said if the market reaches our expectations, our forecasts, they're more likely to tighten, and this is just part of it. But I agree with you, it's not great on the surface, but it's that trend, and it's that unemployment rate. We do have to admit, you know, it might not be perfect, but 5.5% is sure a lot better than it was 10% at the height of the crisis.
Well, I don't know about that. I think at 10% at the height of the crisis, people were making more money, and I don't see. Again, this is not really market related because let's face it, the stock market itself, you know, 5% of the population controls 85% of the stock market. So that doesn't benefit the overall economy. It may benefit the few because, as I've said to you many times, is the rich don't give a rat's ass either way. They're going to spend their money and enjoy themselves. And, of course, when times of trouble are in play, they're going to do better because they've got the bullets in their bank account to go write a check and buy what they want. And the entitled, which we have a president who continues to build his army of people that are entitled and sucking on the company tit, you know, taking all of this money that they're giving entitled just to go out and vote for the Democrats every 4 years or every 2 years. You know, but the guy on the street, yours and my friends, okay, now we're fortunate we're both in good shape going forward, but a lot of guys that are from our generation are not doing very well, and they're really struggling. And that has I see no near-term solution to that. Do you?
No, I don't. And I think the best, I don't know what solution can be except an expanding economy that lifts all boats and helps, you know, continues to expand. And Fed tightening is not going to help it expand, although it's not going to be a lot. They're just trying to get back to normal and neutral. But that's the best way, I think, for everybody. Obviously, we need to be trained and educated, but rapidly expanding economy that increases 6-7% on a nominal basis is terrific. The problem is, on a nominal economy basis, it's increasing maybe a couple percent. Retail sales are increasing a couple percent. It's nowhere near where it was the last time the Fed started a tightening cycle. So I think what the Fed's trying to do is preempt things, trying to warn the market. And it's very concerned about, I guess, what they quoted is excessive risk-taking. But that might, you know, just might mean going forward we're going to have more of a stock picker's market rather than just one where the beta indices go up, you know, an average of 16% annually. That's unlikely to continue.
No. Look, you and I both know, again, you're a trader. See, one thing about talking to you is not only are you very educated about the markets, not only are you extremely involved in putting together these ETFs and understanding the different markets around the world, because they're all different. And one of the problems that I have is that the stock market itself, the equity markets are probably in the chain of investing opportunities are probably the 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th biggest market to trade in, which in the big scheme of life isn't really that big a deal. And more people don't participate in the stock market than do. And if we look at what's going on and we say the Fed to me are a bunch of boobs. Okay. Now, again, I don't want to put words in your mouth because I know that you don't agree with me on this, but they have no idea of what to do next. They have no clue on how to get out of this. However, I don't think they can raise rates because I think they've created this mess and they missed the window because we could have overcome any problem. But as long as rates stay here, the middle class will stay in recession because small business cannot borrow money because the banks will not loan money because they don't want to give out liquidity because there's no percentage for the bank because they cannot make enough money on the money they're lending with the risk that they have to take. What say you?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of truth to that, and I think I mentioned, I just got to reiterate, I actually work right next to the Fed, a couple blocks away, the New York Fed. I have a good friend who works there. We like to sneak away to our little Irish pub once in a while, and the last time we did was just a month ago. He said, yeah, the quote he uses, they're stuck. I think most people know that. And it's this dichotomy of the rest of the world cutting rates. And this week, one of the significance is the World Bank joined the IMF asking the Fed not to tighten. That doesn't matter so much. But it's not so much what they're doing. It's what they're saying. And I think they're saying the right thing. And they're setting the market up for the future. They're talking optimistically about the economy. And that's one thing that Larry Summers says. There's just no value better than positive economic sentiment, positive consumer sentiment. And that's getting better. It's improving. It's certainly much better than it was 5 years ago. Our homes are going up in value. Our cost of energy is going down. We just got to keep that going. And I think the Fed's idea is, you know, to make sure it doesn't get excessive. The only thing that's really gotten excessive, it's not the economy, it's some asset valuations. And that's what I think they're concerned about. And they've done that in the past. If you just look at the last two big stock market corrections, the one that started in 2000, Fed went from 6% to 1%, and then we had another big correction, obviously, in 2008 to 2009, the Fed went from 5% to 0. They just are worried that they don't have that fuel for the next correction to cut rates.
Well, I mean, again, this goes back to the fact that they have no idea what they're doing. This, again, you know, I may be oversimplifying it, but they are not running. Look, we are a business. The United States is a corporation. You agree with that, I believe, right?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think it was what president that said it, the business of America is business. I can't remember. That was right before World War One. Harding, okay. I think, said it.
Okay. And if you and I ran our household budgets or our own businesses the way that the Federal Reserve runs the money supply and the way that the government runs the government, we would be in one of two places, one of them being jail, the other one in bankruptcy court. So why do they think that we can continue to run the way that they're running when you and I both know it does not work?
Well, that's the thing I look at is, as a research analyst. That's why I have to admit I'm personally a bit overweight in precious metals, a little bit underweight in equities, and a little bit overweight in bonds, because I see these trends. I dig into the trends in mostly U.S. government debt spending, income, and I just don't see how we can get out of these excessive trends without some kind of problem. And that's why I think it's important for us to diversify and protect. We've had this massive run up in equities. You're supposed to say thank you, take a few profits, or roll into some more, you know, products that are basically designed to get you better returns in the future. But these trends in our fiscal situation are really scary. That is, our debt to GDP is 100%. We have, you know, that's basically our total debt is about $18 trillion, and our GDP is about $18 trillion. The last time the Fed started a tightening cycle in June of 2004, it was 60%. And the thing is, okay, the only way to really get out of that is obviously cut spending or really increase the economy. And they both kind of be great, but it's just not happening fast enough. And also a key thing that I
hold on to that. Hold on to that.
There's one thing remember I mentioned about
Mike.
Food stamps.
Mike.
There's 50 million people on food stamps.
Hold
so
that.
Last time they tightened, there was only half that.
Hold that key thought because we're going to come back. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am with Mike McClone from ETFSecurities.com. check out their website. Check out, they put a special link up on the Bubba Show. I'm telling you, this is one of the best companies making ETFs that really takes care of you, the consumer. ETFsecurities.com, Mike McClone. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horace, and we'll be right back after the break with more from Mike.
From misunderstood, far away from the days where I wouldn't want to go home, cause I was afraid of the truth. See, I was scared to admit the feeling was in the back of my head, cause the point where I no longer worse, so you have to stand up for how you want to.
Are you thinking about trying the options market? Well, I think Bubba says you should check out binary options through Nadex. That's NADEX.com. Give you a limited risk, limited reward model that puts you in a position where all you have to do is basically answer a yes or no question. Set up your own expiration time from 2 hours to 1 week. Put yourself in a position to trade at a low cost and let you capitalize in all types of market, whether it be slow, busy, whipsaw. All you have to do is pick the expiration, pick the strikes, set yourself up, and you're ready to rock and roll. And that's through Nadex.com. You can start with a small amount of money, large amount of money, whatever suits your portfolio best. I urge you to go check out Nadex.com. That's Nadex.com.
Option traders, are you tired of the runaround? Are you tired around about the false promises that so many out there make to you? Are you tired of getting those unrealistic returns? Well, I'm telling you right now, if you tune in, me and the Badger, every Sunday night, at 6:45 Eastern Time, we're going to talk to you straight. We're going to tell you how the option market works, how to now take advantage of the weekly options, how to best become the best trader that you can. And instead of making false promises, we're going to tell it to you straight, just like we do here on the Bubba Show. There's going to be winners and losers, but overall, we're going to teach you how to grind out the market, whether or not you want to work on your long-term portfolio and create your own dividend product, or you want to be a little more active and create some more action in your own portfolio. We're going to teach you all the strategies that are going to help you be more successful. Make sure you email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get hooked up for my Sunday night webinar. Each and every Sunday, we do it right. Hey, sports fans, you got to check out the Sporting Edge here on the Liberty Express Radio Network. Every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 Eastern Time, the Badger and me break down the sports. We break down the matchups. We tell you who we think is going to win. We give you the reasons why. We also cover office pool stuff. We cover the news. We cover fantasy football as Xander comes in and does a fantasy football segment each and every week. You're tired of looking at the losers. You're tired of not understanding how to invest in the sports world. We teach you the investing of sports and how to turn the tables on everybody else and put the markets in your favor. It's the Sporting Edge here on the Liberty Express Radio Network every Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 11 Eastern Time. We break down the metrics. We give you who we think are the winners are going to be, and we certainly know how to hit a pretty good percentage. We're here to teach you and help you better understand the business of sports, the Sporting Edge. Check out thesportingedge.net.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm hanging out with Mike McClone from ETFSecurities.com. And I will say this, they are a sponsor of the Bubba Show, but also their products are second to none in what they do because you get the square shake from them and you want a real opportunity to really invest in the precious metal space in an ETF model. You get no better value than you get from looking at the ETFSecurities.com. And one of them, of course, Glitter, is one of the ones that I know Mike likes a lot. But let's get back to the food stamps issue, as I started to cut you off. But these are things that really irritate me and bother me. So go ahead and make your point. I'm sorry.
Well, it's just quite simple. And that is, this is not, it is different in compared to what we've seen in the past. And that is, the economy is not growing nearly as fast as it has in the past. Population is not growing nearly as fast as it in the past. And I just look at some of these key things that I don't think people are focusing on as much. This is somewhat of a recession still, with just how come we have 50 million people on food stamps when last time, you know, which over 10 years ago, last time the Fed tightened, we only had 23 million. These people are hurting. And the only way, really, best way to help people is have this really expanding the economy. We need some inflation. So I think the Fed plans on that. But, you know, we need 6% GDP growth and maybe 3% inflation. That would be wonderful. That's a dream. And tightening is not a way to get there.
So, Mike, you know, one of the things, and you don't have to comment on this if you don't want to, you don't choose to. I'm gonna lay something out there. And one of the things that bothers me the most, and you and I are both in the media, we're both traders. I mean, you were a floor trader way back when, and now you've become a research guy, but you know, still have your finger on the pulse. You speak a lot. You do a lot of educating throughout about what products are. Nothing pisses me off more as a trader, okay, when I hear people go on air and start talking their book and not really talking about the real economy and what's really going on. If you don't want to comment, we'll just move on. But if you want to comment, please do.
Yeah, well, it's something that I think it's important to know when you listen to people, where are they coming from, what they do. And one thing I like to point out about us, I'm part of a global research team. We do have precious metals products, but we also have long, short, and leverage products in Europe. Now, we don't really market those here, but we have to have a concerted view. I can't disagree with my research team in London. If I do, we have to discuss that. And so we can get long or short. I can, you know, we can just as easily get short silver. So if I say get bullish, which I am from a bullish precious metals, you know, we have to be different. Now, most other, like, as we would call sell-side shops, are just usually trying to sell a product, like stocks. And that's where you have to be careful.
So, Mike, you know, you're bullish to metals, and as am I. And I'm actually bullish the alternative spaces, including grains and things like that. But, you know, your market is more the precious metals and some of the things there. Why do you think we're like, just stuck in mud in the metals right now? I mean, silver has been almost in a coma for, I don't know, about 3 years now. And gold, you know, is really just stuck in this range, 1180 to 1220. And we haven't really been able to get off center ice and really, you know, either break down, okay, which I don't think it's going to do, or break out. What is, in your mind, what's holding it back?
Well, I think the number one thing is the primary asset class, which is the equity market, has just been on fire. And that, you know, most of the precious metals are basically the quintessential diversifiers. You put them on your portfolio at the store value, but generally they have a tendency to zig when everything else is zagging. Now, the equity market's been going up so much, there's been a lot of lack of interest in precious metals, notably in gold, and this has really happened in China. We've had this massive rally in the Chinese market, and China is one of the largest consumers of physical gold in the world, yet their interest lately has waned because they've had this equity market rally. So you can see where that's going. It's not a perfect correlation, but if we get a stumble in the equity market, the precious metals should come back and shoot back. One thing that's been really impressive to me is you look at gold since even last year. It was unchanged in the year, yet the dollar was up about 1%. The stock market was up. The VIX was down. And there was outflows in ETFs. There's a lot of reason gold should have been down, yet it wasn't. And it's the same thing this year. You look at silver. Just the last month, we've had some pretty substantial inflows into silver ETFs. In fact, on the year, they're the only precious metal ETFs that have had inflows. Silver's up slightly on the year, but it's up despite the dollars blasting off. The stock market is still doing well, and the VIX is doing poorly. So it's showing what I would say is divergence. We used to look for that in the pit. Markets that are not doing what they should do generally go the other way. So they're showing impressive divergence, and that's one thing I'm looking at as a very encouraging sign.
You know, I'm a big fan of both gold and silver. You know, I don't look at them as a hedge against anything. I think they're just another hard asset, you know, like your home. I mean, you buy a house, it's, you know, if you buy a rental property, whatever, you're buying a hard asset that you hope it will appreciate in time. You know, I don't buy it because it's fear, and I don't buy into the fear factor of gold. But I do love the products that you deal with. And, you know, one of the things that I find, you know, really nice about ETF security stuff is, you know, you've explained it before, but I think it always is worth explaining again why your ETF for the metals is better, because there's so many things, so many quirks that people don't understand about contango, backwardation, cost to carry, all these other things that you guys account for and price accordingly versus trying to, you know, what I call a lot, that people, some of these guys that run ETFs, they kind of scam some of the money out that shouldn't really be coming out. So explain to me why that is and what makes it so much, you guys so much better.
I appreciate the question because I think I've got some decent experience from there. I was head of commodities at S&P indices, and I created commodity indices. The bottom line about precious investing in the precious metals is it's simply the KISS method. keep it simple, stupid, because the ETFs actually physically hold that precious metal, gold, silver, platinum, palladium, in a vault in Europe, generally in Switzerland, that's protected and it's got layers of auditing and everything. So basically, it allows the end user, the retail person, to get a wholesale price. Any other commodity, gold, copper, crude oil, you can't physically hold it. It's too expensive, so you have to use a futures market. And the futures market has many things like contango. It costs you a lot of money. So just to give you a simple example, since the end of 2008, the spot price of crude oil is up 60%, but yet the number one ETF that tracks crude oil for a real investor is down 30%. The spot price of gold since the end of 2008 is up over 35%. An ETF that tracks gold is up just about the same, less a small expense ratio. And that's the key difference with precious metals. You can invest in a precious metal like palladium, where you have almost 100%, almost, industrial demand, but you can store it on your finger. And it's the storage that's the key. Like you mentioned corn. I mean, I just sold my farm. I love to talk about corn, but investing in corn and through an ETF can be very taxing, because to hold it for a long term, you get killed by contango. You have to pay the storage. The short term is a different story. And so that's why the precious metals almost are very much favorable to hold for long term, because you never have to worry about that storage. It's de minimis. It's very small.
Right. No, and I agree. And that's now the leverage products. You're familiar with leverage products are out there, right?
Yes, we have plenty of them in Europe.
Right. And what is your take on the proper way to play a leverage product if you're going to play it?
Don't consider them. They're not for buy and hold. They're for traders. That's the best way to look at it, I think. Or hedging. Traders are hedging. And because you're eventually, anything that's 1 to 2 or 3 times leverage is going to hurt you with decay and things. So I'd say they're for more of the professional type traders. And for anybody who's buying and hold, I'd stay away.
And of course, I agree. So, Mike, you know, we look around and, you know, it's running towards the end of the show here, but if you were to design a portfolio, what percentage do you think the average guy should have in, let's use glitter because it covers all of them. So, you know, if I've got, you know, $100,000 portfolio, would you say 10% of that portfolio should be tied up in a stock like glitter or an ETF like glitter that covers the precious metals?
Well, you and I think always agree on diversification. So you can use physically backed. The ideal thing about ETFs to track these precious metals physically backed is the liquidity. You can get it out very simply. So I always say between 5% and 20%, depending what fits. It's got to fit for the person. If you're older and need to preserve wealth, it's probably a good way to do it. But also, I look at relatively. In 2011 and 12, it was probably a good idea to be only 5% or, you know, less percent in these type of products. They're very expensive. Now they're considered somewhat cheap. I'd be more focused more and maybe closer to the 10 to 20%, a little bit overweight. But everything you and I always agree on, got to diversify and think longer term. You know, think, overweight and underweight. And don't put all your eggs in one basket. I mean, like you, we both, you know, you can always actually buy physical precious metals and coins and things. But the big difference with those is the liquidity. You can't get out easy. You can't sell them easy. You can't just push a button and get out. You can with an ETF.
And that's why we love Mike McClone here on The Bubba Show. He brings it to you straight. He talks to you straight, and you ever catch him on air. One of the smartest guys I know, Mike McClone, always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, and of course, that'll take you to the end of another great show. But remember to go check out, go to thebubbashow.org, click the link for ETFsecurities.com. I'm telling you, educate yourself on their products, because in this ETF space, there's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad, but I will give the ETF securities the top grade that I can give, because, again, you're getting the straight scoop. Check them out, ETFsecurities.com. This has been The Bubba Show. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Take care, everybody.
That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be. Tonight's gonna be